I'm doing well, man. Always happy to have a yarn with you.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Yeah.
And like I was just saying off air that it was probably only about 6 weeks or maybe 2 months ago, I saw you at a gig and you're like, hey, man, I've got this album I'm bringing out. I'm like, oh, it's like November, end of the year. No one brings albums out at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But you're just like, nah, it's like the best thing I've ever done. It's coming out soon.
And yeah.
I was so excited to see it. And then I wasn't disappointed when you
thanks, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm of the opinion that good things come to those who don't wait, those who risk it all and pour energy and conviction into their music and try and get it out there, and people will respond to it or they won't, and then you move on to the next thing, because it's part of who you are and it's part of your passion. And I had, you know, just a hell of a year, and I felt like I wanted to pour a lot of that pain and joy and grief and anger, I guess, as well, but also that fun side of myself into this record and create something just to help me survive, really.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us, you know, whether you're a music consumer or presenter or creator, it helps us to live and it helps us to survive and get through hard times. And so I wanted to make it for that reason. And then I've heard from other people already that it's helping them through hard times. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing, beautiful alchemy.
That's a great thing when people can come back to you and say, oh, this song means a lot to me, or I just picked out these lyrics and they really resonate. How does that make you feel? Just like really warm? You know, do you feel like, you know,
well,
like
it inspires me.
Yeah.
You know, that's the constant back and forth, the constant exchange of what we do when we produce something and put it in the world, because they don't realize when they say that. Like the other day at the horror show gig, this guy came up to me and he said that the song Ceiling Fan that me and Horror Show made, he felt like it saved his life. It got him through suicide, you know, suicidal thoughts.
Wow.
Which is a crazy thing, because it's probably one of the darker, more nihilistic songs, but, you know, maybe it was just that energy that allowed him to release something or get over something. And he didn't realize that right at that moment, I needed to hear that from him too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it hopefully saves us all.
So it's been a tough year. It's a long year for you, or a busy year. You always seem to be doing something. But
busy year, you know, a lot of traveling. I've been to Europe 3 times performing in and out of airports. you know, I lost people that were close to me, you know, found love, lost love. You know, that's what the whole album's about. It's based around this weird premise that ever since my childhood hero Ali died, Muhammad Ali, the boxer, my life fell apart and the world fell apart too. You know, after Ali died, we had Brexit, we had Trump get into power.
Oh, no.
You know?
He was the link holding us all together.
Well, it could have also been called since Bowie died, I guess. But, you know.
Yeah, you have spoken a lot about Ali and how much he meant to you as a child, hence the name of the album. But I was intrigued as to how a heavyweight boxer on the other side of the world can inspire a boy in Queanbeyan, you know. What are your first memories of him?
Well, he was one of the most universal kind of figures of the 20th century, you know. I mean, he was much reviled in his time, in his society, but I think around the world, so many people were inspired by him. My first memories, I think my dad showed me some tapes of him boxing. Just at a moment in my life when I'd been experiencing some bullying, you know, based on my skin color and my race, and I was feeling really down on myself. I told my parents I didn't want to be brown anymore, and I don't think that their messages to me sunk in when they were saying, no, you can't think like this, whatever. They showed me a tape of this boxer who was saying he was the prettiest and he was the best and he was the greatest, and he really believed in himself, and also he was Muslim, so I could sort of relate to that. And there weren't that many Muslim role models in Australia, like when I looked on the screen. Now there's only a few more, really, but like in the 90s there wasn't really anything like that. So it was that reason as well. It made me proud to see a guy like that, and he was funny and everything, and he broke that circuit, you know, of kind of that internalized hatred, I guess, that I could have had after being bullied. And so it made me think that I wanted to be like that for other people, you know, and to be fearless and to stand up for people who need it. And so I could never be like Ali, but I can do it in my own way through my music.
Through music. And that's a great way of doing it. Like you say, you can touch so many people with music. And you're saying that this album is almost like a narrative of the last year. You go through found love, lost love, but it's also a bit of, it's some really honest and sort of, you know, speaking about racism. He talked about as ones about Yasmin
Abdul-Majid. Yeah.
And then they've got like the fun ones talking about how cats move and then the obligatory spicy track.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, you've got a bit of everything in there. Do you just write wherever the mood takes you, or do you have to be in a certain mood to write these tunes, or you actually sort of go into it when I'm going to write this sort of track, or do you just...
Well, I mean, I think for the most part, I was drawn to the more emotive kind of dark tracks because that was felt like it was the type of year that I had, you know.
Sure, yeah.
And so I had Paper Toy and Mir working on most of the production, as well as Adit from Horror Show and Poncho. And so I was drawn to those more emotive tracks. But then I also do realize that, you know, the shade does not exist without the light and vice versa. So, you know, I think it is important for me to have those more playful sides because, you know me. So, like, that is a part of my... personality as totally. Well that a lot of people don't necessarily know. Maybe they think that they see me as like really somber and sort of like, you know, angry the whole time about race relations and political issues, but you know, I kind of am a bit of a clown, like, so I wanted to put some of that on there as well, and so it was to kind of round out, like, it was to give the most truthful representation of my personality because I know that resonates, you know. It's not it's not about perfection music, I don't think, or everything being perfectly sculpted, hitting the right notes all the time. It is about that depth of feeling and that truthfulness and that honesty, and that's what resonates with me, you know. If I listen to an old, like, that's why you like listening to old Jimi Hendrix records or something live at Woodstock where his voice cracks or something, that's the best bit.
Yeah
You know,
it's real. You've worked, you just mentioned a bunch of the great producers you work with on this album, and a bunch of great rappers as well. Tasman Keith. You got
Jess One from Fundamentals
on there. Yeah. Do you just say, hey, I've got a track here, can you help me out? And they just like jump on. Is it like as simple as just putting out a call? Or,
well, no, I mean, look, there's a lot of people who I've done that with who haven't responded to the call, you know? There's people out there that I still really want to work with, you know?
Yeah.
Remy. B-Wise, if you're listening. Oh, actually, I've worked with B-Wise.
Yeah.
And I've performed with Remy heaps of times. But I want to do a song with him. I try to find people who are on the same page. You know, there are a lot of artists who, for whatever reason, maybe they just take ages to write rhymes. Maybe they're in some personal predicament. They're just not ready at that moment. All the collaborators, whether they were the artist, Jason Fu, the producers, or the other vocalists, they were just ready to work.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to Sarah Corey. She had just kind of... I either quit her job or taken far less hours and just want to work on music. I was like, dude, here's a beat. What do you think of these raps? She wrote the hook, sent it back. We ended up doing four songs together.
Because
it was that, you know, it was timing. It was just right. It had to happen at that moment. And Sarah, a lot of it was like that.
And Sarah Corey from Left, who I play here now and then because they are bloody awesome as well. And speaking of amazing women, you are... involved in an event this Friday night. It's a charity event. It's called Slay Queens, and it's raising money for women's charity shelters in New South Wales.
Women's community shelters.
Community shelters, sorry. What a great idea. And right on Christmas Eve, you know, you get out there and enjoy a great night out with some really amazing artists. Can you tell us how this all came together?
Yeah, so me and my friend Carolina Della Piedra, we decided just to put this event on to support women, you know, especially in the wake of all the Me Too stuff that really shook all of us. It shook me as a man, you know, sort of seeing all of this and thinking, you know, that I'm complicit in this system that enacts economic, physical, and colloquial violence against women. You know, I'm not woke, I'm not enlightened, but I'm trying to be better and trying to help out in my own way. And so this was an attempt for me to do that. And we thought, what better way than to bring people together through music and do something fun. So we'll have live DJs upstairs. We'll have DJs upstairs, live acts downstairs, all R&B, soul, hip hop. We've got people like Joyride, Milan Ring, Rebecca Hatch, who's really brilliant, Jana Beth, Mira, Amali Golden. You know, we've got really great acts. It's going to be super fun. And we're printing up limited edition t-shirts to kind of put out there, raise funds. We're doing a good keg. Cheap tacos, all the money goes to the charity as well. We're doing all sorts of stuff. So it's just going to be a really fun night, last working night of the year before Christmas, this Friday at the Botany View Hotel in Newtown. So yeah, you should come along. I think it's going to be a really, really good vibe.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. We've got some great DJs as well, people who worked on your album. Adit's going to be down there from Horror Show, Flex Mummy, Mowgli May, who you... We can link to talking to about last night. You were on Tonightly, and Mowgli was DJing for you on that show. You did a live track and had a chat on air. It's great that people are picking up on this album and saying, "Hey, Omar, we want to talk about what you're talking about, and find out a bit more about you." So, would have got a really good audience for that too.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, it was fun to talk to Tom Ballard. We've had I think we had a yarn on the radio before a few years ago, but mostly we just know each other from out and about at gigs and everything like that. And they reached out to me because I think it is a, I think it's a special record. I mean, of course, I'm going to say that, but you know, I think we're going through this sea change at the moment in Australian hip hop. More diverse stories, more people coming out of to sort of add complexity and nuance to the national narrative of this country. You know, we had a landmark albums in the last 2 years. We had something like Divas and Demons by Remy, representing, you know, the African Australian experience in you know, in his particular way. And then, of course, Reclaim Australia. Yeah. I think. By AB Original. I think we are now in a post-Reclaim Australia world.
That's it. That's it.
And so I was trying to do that with Since Ali Died from a very conflicted Muslim Australian perspective. I think hopefully I've created something brand new, something really fresh.
It is, it is. And we've been spinning this track, Assimilate, featuring Tasman Keith on the radio since it came out. And yeah, it's a real, maybe controversial song. I don't know if people have sort of looked at it and gone, what do you mean you don't want to assimilate? You know, and I know you've brought this up before, but what does this track mean to you?
Well, it's talking about and interrogating the idea of what it means to quote unquote fit in to Australia, you know, because I've been trapped between two different identities, that of being Asian Australian, which is always considered a model minority, kind of passive, you know, act well, work hard in Australia, don't raise your voice. Yeah. And then being Muslim Australian, which is probably alongside Aboriginal Australians, the most demonized of identities and sort of definitely cast into the other box, the them box. Yeah. So I've been trapped with this kind of tension. And I've realized that sometimes respectability politics, it doesn't really work because, you know, all voices are not considered equal in Australia. So you might say something criticizing the nation of Australia, but it's different if you have a name like Omar bin Musa or Yasmin Abdul-Majid, as we saw. Suddenly, you can act as friendly and polite as you want. You can speak English as well as someone else, but as soon as you step out of line with the sort of nationalist rhetoric, that people are baying for your blood. And, you know, if this is really an egalitarian country, the land of the fair go, and we're seeking equity and equality, then we have to have equality and equity of our voices and of our opinions as well, you know.
I think if anyone...
And not demonised just because of your particular background.
Yeah, definitely. And if anyone sort of listens to this and goes, yeah, I want to hear some more of this, there's another track on the album called Un-Australia, which to me really just, you know, it speaks of that idea of what it is to be Australian.
Yeah.
And I think it's starting to change, I hope, but I think people still think there's this Australian culture that is going to be broken. And it's like, no, the culture of Australia is multicultural. Yeah. That's what it is. But yeah, definitely check out the album if you can. It's really amazing, and it's out on all good places. Since Ali Died, check it out, probably on Spotify,
iTunes, Apple Music,
all that stuff. All right, man. Well, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the gig Friday night, Botany View Hotel, Slay Queens. Come down, have a bit of a dance, bit of a boogie, buy a t-shirt.
7 p.m. till 2 a.m. It's going all night.
Sounds good.